When I was a child, I heard a message that influenced me and impacted me very greatly. And as I was looking to the Lord this week for a message, the Lord brought it back to my mind. And I began to study the scriptures and the thoughts that I had heard as a child, and I'm greatly inspired by it. So that's kind of a new thing for me, but I trust that this morning it will also enter into your heart and impact and inspire you as it did mine. I'm going to start with the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Just get a little thought from here. We all know the story, how that Zacchaeus was a little man. Yesterday when I was in the store, I passed a big, huge man. And he went past me, and then I followed him down the aisle. And then he met, as he was walking, he met a very tiny man. And just the two of them right next to each other was kind of a comical picture. And I thought about how God has made all kinds of people, the big and the little. And they're all worth something to him. But Zacchaeus was little. But he was a seeker, and it didn't take long for the seeking Savior and the seeking soul to get together, did it? And whenever Zacchaeus came and he proved to the Lord by what he was telling the Lord, he proved to him that he was wanting to be a child of God. Jesus said to him in verse 9, Luke 19 and 9, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want to talk this morning about being lost. In the 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus gave three stories. And in those stories, we learn about that which was lost. So I want to speak to us a little bit about that. The first story in verse 3 of chapter 15. First of all, let's get what happened in verses 1 and 2. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." So here's the situation. We have Jesus is teaching, and here came a whole bunch of publicans, or the lowest of society, to hear Jesus, and sinners. Well, I guess in this instance, the Pharisees and the scribes, the people that were the leaders of the law that taught the people, they were already there. And I'm sure there was a great deal of coughing and muttering and shifting, and as this crowd of sinner people came to hear Jesus, and they just came right in there. Just Jesus had let them know, "You're free. I've come to preach the gospel to the humble type people." He let them know that. So here came this crowd of sinners, and the Pharisees were very disturbed. They just didn't like that a bit, to see that these people were coming. And Jesus, and it says the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They just didn't like that. So Jesus spoke this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep?" So he appealed to them in their best parts of them. Now I want to talk to you about yourselves. So you're disgruntled about me having received these sinners. Now I'm going to ask you, if any one of you, if you have 100 sheep and one goes away, don't you go out and look for it? Don't you go seek it? So I'm sure that there were some of those men that knew exactly what they would do if they had a sheep that was lost. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I believe that whenever he said that, which need no repentance, he was referring to their idea that they didn't need to repent, that they were just fine. But as we go along, we're going to show in these three stories how that all of them were lost. All of them needed a Savior to seek after them. So this first parable, it talks about a lamb that goes out. It goes, I believe in this story, he's really referring to the Gentile people who just followed their own inclinations and they went away from God and just went. Whatever their flesh desired them to do, that's what they did. That's what a sheep does. Just follows the animal instincts. Where's the food? That's kind of what people do in their lives. They just go after where the food is. Where's the good? Where's the fun? Where's the good life? And they just follow that. And you know what? When you follow that, you end up being lost. You get lost out there following your human inclinations and just doing whatever your flesh wants to do. Young people and children, did you know that if you just do what you want to do in life and you just go where your flesh takes you, you're going to be lost. You won't know where home is. You won't know where the shepherd is. What happens to sheep that get out there and get lost? Sheep that get out there and get lost are prey. That word means something that gets eaten by something else. The predators, the wolves, the bears, the lions. That's what the shepherd knew would happen to the lamb. He knew that if the lamb was lost and couldn't find his way home, something would get him. And so the shepherd, he leaves those that don't feel like they have any need, and he goes and he walks the dark fields. He goes out into the wilderness. He leaves the paths and he goes off into where might a sheep be? When I was a little girl also, we had a record that had a story on it, and I had a story about a boy who had sheep, and they lived in the Northwest, up in Idaho or somewhere like that. And he had sheep, and it was a cold night one night, and he came in and he said, Dad, one of my sheep has wandered, one of the lambs has wandered away, and I can't find him. And his dad was tired and unconcerned, really, about his boy's sheep. And he said, come on in, David, and go to bed because it's late and it's cold. And he said, Dad, my sheep is lost. I can't find him. And the dad said, no. He exerted his authority and said, no, you go to bed. Well, David went to bed, but later in the night, he woke up and he couldn't sleep. So he quietly got out of bed, got on his clothes, he got a light, and he went out. And it was blizzard conditions. It was hazardous out there. But he went and he walked and he looked, calling and calling and calling. And he walked until he found that sheep and he brought it back. And his parents, when he got home, the very sight of it touched their hearts. And they realized that he had demonstrated to them the love and the caring of the good shepherd. And it touched his dad so that his dad gave his heart to the Lord. This story has a lot in it. One of those things is it shows us what the shepherd does. The shepherd goes after the lambs and the sheep that that go away, that just follow their own blind inclinations and just go until they're lost. And he goes out and he finds them and he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it home and he's rejoicing. He calls everyone to rejoice. That's maybe a picture of the sinners that repent, the ones that are outside, the ones that go out into the wilderness. But then he tells another story. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, this is a little different scene. This is a woman, and this is something that's valuable to her. Now, it's not just one among a hundred, like the sheep. Was one among a hundred. Some people would say, oh, that's just one among a hundred. Well, this brings it down to where this is one in ten. She had 10 pieces and she lost one. So it's just one in ten. But it was valuable. It was a piece that she didn't want to be without. She wanted it complete and whole. God cares about the things in the house. I'll just kind of, I don't know, I thought about this as being in and around his people, his church, there are valuable things that he doesn't want. And there are valuable people that God doesn't want us to lose. And we should value one another. We should value those who get lost. Those who are valuable to all of us. And what do we do whenever someone is lost from among us? I don't know, that maybe that's not what he was thinking, but that's kind of what came to me. Did you know that you're valuable to the Lord? Every one of you are valuable to God. Every one of you have gifts that he gave you. And also there are gifts that he wants to give you that will he wants you to have and use the gifts that he gives you to contribute to his world and to his work for saving souls. He wants all of us. He's not content with one of us being a valuable person and then all of a sudden they're not here. Where'd they go? Where's so and so? What happened? And this is what I believe the Lord wants us to do as the church, as the woman here. He wants us to take a light and go around inside. I go around inside and like inside the group, inside people and say, the group of people and say, where are you? What's wrong? What's happening? What's going on in your life? I mean, we may not say that in words, but he wants us to care for one another. He wants us to find and seek that which is lost. People get lost inside the house. Sometimes they really do. They lose. Did you know a coin is a coin because it has an image stamped on it? It's different from just a blank piece of gold. It's a coin because it's minted, it's stamped. People lose, and with metal, with some of those metals, if they were lost long enough, they would lose that inscription and that stamp. Some people, when they're lost, they lose the stamp and the inscription that the Lord put on them. They get tarnished. You ever see a penny that's been smashed? You ever take a penny and put it in one of those machines and they stretch it and they smash it? Satan wants to do that with valuable people. He wants to smash you and stretch you. But God says, go look for them. Go find them. This one's valuable too. So She sweeps the house. She seeks diligently. She lights a candle. Thought about how there's a scripture that says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. There's more to our lives than the flesh. The Lord wants us to live to where we can discern spirits, to where we can discern needs and desires and thoughts in people's lives. Is there any lost? Is someone lost here in the house? You know, the children and I have had a lot of fun finding things that we hide from each other, and then we go and we find them. We play I Spy. That's a really fun game. It's fun to find something that's been lost. But have you ever lost something in the house and never found it? I one time had a rug. A rug! This thing was big. I one time had a rug, and I exchanged it at Christmas for a Christmas rug. I rolled up the purple rug, and I put it somewhere. This was years ago. Then when I went to put the Christmas things up and find the purple rug, I could not find it. What happened to the rug? I looked and looked. I went in the attic. I looked in the tops of closets and in the bottoms of closets and under beds and in drawers. And I never found the purple rug. I guess that it got thrown away accidentally. But I searched. I took a light. I turned on lights anyway and took flashlights. That's what this woman did. And let's be mindful that he's talking about lost souls in the house, right there where we are. That it didn't go off in the wilderness. It's right in the house. I wonder sometimes if we can ask the Lord, Lord, give me a spirit that discerns and knows the needs of those who are lost right around me. Lost, they don't know. They're losing their value is lost. They're not being used anymore. They're not part anymore. We're incomplete without that one. Lord, help me to find it. Sometimes it could be in our own family. Somebody in our own family being lost. Why? Lord, help us to seek and diligently sweep the house and seek diligently till we find the lost soul. It says again, when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. I don't know, there's just a lot in that I can sense. Sometimes there are things that we have done that have hurt or offended or troubled someone. Words that we have spoken. Can you imagine how that possibly it's a word that you had spoken that someone took offense to and held it against you? Yes, it was their choice. Yes, it was they should have not done that. But there are ways in which we can live and speak to one another that can do much damage and cause someone to be lost. Maybe lost in our own house. Help us to, Lord, to sweep the house, change some of the things that we're doing, clean it up, and so we can find the lost one. And he said, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And I've told about this dream that I had about my dad. But after my brother was saved, several months after that, I had a dream. It's the first and the only dream I've had about my dad. And at the time, I was not as believing of my brother's conversion as I should have. I kind of doubted it. I'm sorry to say, but I did. And I wondered if it was genuine. And I had this dream. And in my dream, first I saw Brother Gordon. And he came and he was beautifully white and glowing. And he had passed away before my dad. Then I saw my dad. He came to me and he, you know how I did, howdy doody, like that. But he didn't do howdy doody. He came to me and he said, I've got news. And then he just vanished away. And I woke up and I thought, uh-oh. I said, my mom's just died. They're going to call me shortly and they're going to tell me, your mom is gone. Because I thought that's what my dad's news was. But about 10 o'clock, I called my mom. Hello. There she was. She wasn't gone. I thought, okay, it's not that. What's the news that my dad has? What do you think it is? Well, a song came to me that I knew years ago or had heard years ago that says, it made news in heaven when I got saved. And I've just always wondered if possibly my dad was rejoicing because it says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And we know our loved ones that are saved and go to be in the presence of God, they don't turn into angels, but they're with them. They're in the company of them. And I just thought, well, possibly that was the Lord's way of letting me know. It's a real thing because it made news in heaven. And I thank the Lord for it. The Lord is interested in finding and seeking and saving those that are lost. That's what he told about Zacchaeus. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So lost out in the wilderness or lost in the house. Now we have one more story that he told. This one involves not a sheep and not a piece of money. But this story was about two brothers. One of them, he was lost because he chose independence and his own way. And he got rebellious and he wanted to go out and live the way he wanted to live. So he was lost out there. The father did not go out to seek him. The father stayed right at home, albeit he went down the road. I just wonder if he went out and looked down the road and walked down the road every day for years. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But whenever the son decided to come home, his daddy was down the road. And he found him. Well, so that's the reason why he was lost. He was lost. He took his own way. He took all the inheritance when his dad divided it up. He took his portion and he said, I'm going to go live it up. And he did. And he got out there and he spent his money, his inheritance, and he wasted his health. He wasted his manhood. He lived loose and he lived fast. And he was a wretch at the end of it. And then God sent a famine into his land. And that's what we pray for everyone that's out there rebellious. Think about this now. The little sheep went away because he was just kind of following his hunger pains. The coin was lost inside the house, possibly at the negligence of the woman. But this man, he chose. He rebelled. He knew what he was doing. He went out there. And God sent a famine. Every time a person is lost because of rebellion, they're going to go through this until they get to the famine. The famine is going to come. And God does that. God sends a famine in a person's life. I've seen it over and over. Sometimes I've seen it sooner than later, and sometimes I've seen it later in a person's life. Maybe way down at the end of their life. They come back around after being gone maybe for 50 or 60 years. They come back around and they realize they came to themselves. Or the scripture that says here, he said, I am, when he came to himself, verse 17. It says when he came to wisdom. That's what that means. Some people don't come to wisdom for a long time. I'm glad when someone comes to wisdom before they die. And long before, I'm glad when someone comes to wisdom still in their youth, aren't you? My older brother, he did that. And my father prayed and prayed for him. One day he went out and My older brother had been out all night and he was high. And he was coming back down the street toward home. My dad, it was early in the morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning. He looked and he saw my brother coming home. And he had his coat on upside down. He was so out of it. And it broke my dad's heart as he watched his son stumble home. My dad prayed. And he prayed until at 19, that's when he came to himself. My other brother was 48. So sooner or later, many people, after they've been out there, they come to themselves and they come back and they come home. And you know, the father, he was looking down the road. He was right there. He didn't go looking for him. He didn't go and say, "Here, honey, let me get you out of that pig pen." He didn't do that. He let him stay down in the pig pen till he had had enough. And then he came home, but he was waiting for him. He welcomed him. When he got back, he clothed him and he put the signet of the family. They wore rings or bracelets, a family thing. That he gave that back to him. He made a great feast. He brought the calf that they had been thickening up for a feast. He brought that, went and got it out of the pen. And they made music and singing, and he made a feast for his son. Then in verse 25, it says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry." What prophet did we hear about not too long ago who was angry when God spared people? You remember? Who was the prophet that got angry because others were spared? Yeah, Jonah. This brother who didn't think he needed any repentance. And you know, Jesus is still talking to these Pharisees who didn't feel like they needed anything. But this brother was angry because he said, "This thy son." See how he said that to his father in verse 30? It was a despicable thought to him. He said, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." See, his anger against the one who had been lost and had come back, and he's ugly about it. What does this tell you about brothers? Or brothers and sisters? They're very keen to special treatment that they think is given to the other person. "You never gave me like you gave him." What an attitude. You know, it's real easy to get those attitudes sometimes. People, adult people, get that toward God. "You favored him more than you favored me. They've made it better than I've made it. Well, he gets to do that. Why do you require this of me?" See that attitude? It's there in people. He was angry and he felt like that he was deserving of a kid. Well, if you were deserving of it, why didn't you ever ask for it? That's what his father said. He said, let's read verse 30. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." So here's what the father said. He said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. back then, once you divided the inheritance, you weren't obligated the rest of your life if you made money and you had more to pass down after you made that division. You could give it to anybody that you wanted. You weren't obligated to divide it equally between your sons. So if this son wanted it, if the father had a mind to give all the rest of his wealth that he had acquired since the younger son left, he could do it legally and justly. He could do it. That other son had forfeited any more inheritance. That was the custom back then. This one, he said, all that I have is thine. You can have it all. Everything that I've got left is yours. So why didn't you ever ask for a feast? Ask for a fatted calf? And I thought about this. I thought how that we sometimes kind of get down in the dumps and we don't live up to our privileges as sons and daughters of the Lord. We can have a feast anytime. We can live to the fullest. And sometimes we don't. Many times we don't. Many times we think, well, it seems like the people that go out and get saved or go out in sin and then get saved, they seem like they enjoy salvation more. Did you know what? We could enjoy it. If you don't go out and into sin, you're still someone that God can bless. He can give you a feast anytime. The Lord can give you a feast. This son, to me, the first two parables speak about a sheep that goes out and he goes out and finds it. The second one is one that's lost inside the house. And then this last parable, again, you have the one that goes out and comes back. And then you've got that brother that's in the house. He's lost too. He's lost in the house. His soul was as needy and in a desert condition as his brother, and he had never left. This is a great lesson to us. But Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Whether you're lost out in the field or you're lost in the house, the Lord has come to seek and save every one of us. He wants us all to be a part. He wants your worth to be realized. If you're a coin that's rolled off and gotten down into a crack, and you've let the things of life mar your image and your inscription, the Lord wants to find you. He wants to restore you, put you back into the ring of worth that He has, those that He treasures. Did you know God's people have been to Him as a special guarded treasure? If you roll off down into the floor and then go into a corner of dirt, the Lord wants to find you and use you again. Or if you're being like this man who was angry at his brother, who felt jealous of the blessings, who was envious because so much was made over this one that had gone and wasted so much. Why is such a big deal made out of him? He was lost. He was lost too. He needed his own feast. And he could ask for it. He could come to the Father and say, Father, I've served you a long time, but I've never had a feast. Give me a feast. Bless me. Let me know your joy. He was out there just serving and slaving, and this is the way that the Jews were doing too. They didn't realize and know. And I think about one person in the scripture that really depicts this. It was a man who was very gifted. It was a man who knew God's law in and out. He was very educated. He was top-notch. And you know what? He was lost in the house. But God went and he shined a light, didn't he? And he found the lost coin. And he restored him to not just being in the house, but being a part, being someone whose worth could be known. You know who that was? Who was it in the scriptures? It was Paul. I can see that right in there. He's that lost coin that the Lord went and found. And just think about the worth that he contributed to the Savior. In the words that he wrote, the messages that he preached, the people that he was able, he went and established and found congregations here and there and here and there and here and there. He was part of that circle, wasn't he? Are you this morning, is anyone here lost? A lost sheep. Maybe we don't have any lost sheep here today. But sometimes we don't know those who are lost in the house. We don't realize when somebody is walking away in their own hearts. And their hearts are far from God. And they're right in the house. Lord, give us discerning of spirit so that we might know this one is in trouble. And begin praying. You don't go to someone and say, I don't think you're saved anymore, are you? We don't do that. But we have a spirit about us that begins to seek the Lord. Lord, what can I do? What can I do to restore this one? This one has worth. This one has capabilities that you've given to them. There's hidden, latent abilities that God could bring out of them. If they could just be restored. So this morning we thank the Lord for these scriptures that the Lord has given. I've just gotten a little bit out of it. And I'm sure there's more and even different thoughts that a person can have. Because sometimes I've brought out what my heart had. And then I listened to someone else and I thought, oh, I guess I didn't know the meaning at all. But this is a little bit, anyway. This morning is, if you're lost in the house, the Lord has a feast for you. He has everything that He has is yours. You can have all of the Lord's joy and blessing. And that's what that word Mary actually means. It means joy. The Lord has joy over His children. Did you know that? Did you know He sings over us? The Bible tells us that. The Lord sings over us with delight. You're a treasure to Him. He values you. Every one of you, girls, boys. It doesn't matter. You're very, very treasured of the Lord. When you're lost, He wants to find you. He wants to restore you. He wants to joy over you. Amen.